Welcome to another edition of the Cool Stuff Ride Home podcast, the first of the year 2024. Marcus Papp here alongside Reggie Rizzou, bringing you some of the more interesting stories of the day. On today's episode, what could be in store for 2024? We ask a famous dead French astrologist the science behind the phenomenon known as beer goggles. And on this day in history, I and you too can't drive 55. Thanks, Richard Nixon. Plus, a proper introduction from Reggie and I. Just what you've been craving, I know. Coming up on Cool Stuff Ride Home.
Now that we are in the new year, we might all be wondering, what will 2024 bring? Will it be better or worse than 2023? Well, maybe Nostradamus can answer that for us. For those of you not familiar with Nostradamus, let's look at Wikipedia. They describe him as a French astrologer, apothecary, physician, and reputed seer, who is best known for his book, The Prophecies, published in 1555. It's a collection of 942 poetic quatrains, allegedly predicting future events.
So wait. Before we go any further, what is a reputed seer?
Somebody who is good at seeing the future. Okay. And again, this goes to your theory of people back then having 18 jobs, astrologer, apothecary, physician, and seer. So, I mean, he's got it all down.
Okay, continue. I just had to ask.
The 16th century French astrologer has made many predictions for the future, including 2024. Several news agencies have made their best guess on the predictions from his 1555 text. Here is what they predicted and what they think it could mean. There is going to be a naval battle. According to Nostradamus, he predicted a navy battle and said that the red adversary will become pale with fear, putting the great ocean in dread. The New York Post thinks the red adversary that he's referring to could be China, and the nation's red flag, they added that the naval battle could be hinting at China's tensions with the island of Taiwan. According to IFL Science, another prediction states that the King of Isles will be driven out by force. Some think that could be referring to King Charles III. In a different passage reportedly about King Charles, Nostradamus said, "Soon afterward, a disastrous war, a new king shall be anointed, who for a long time will appease the earth." British author Mario Reading, who wrote the book Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies for the Future, analyzed the possible reason why King Charles III might step down. A Daily Mail report cited Reading as saying that this might happen due to persistent attacks on both himself and the Queen. Reading claimed that Prince Harry would replace King Charles III instead of Prince William. Another prophecy comes to climate. When it comes to this prediction, I don't think we need any help. It seems pretty cut and dry. He predicted the climate will get worse for 2024. Quote, "The dry earth will grow more parched and it'll be great floods when it is seen." That one kind of seems like contradicts itself. A dry earth, but floods. So,
well, I would think the same thing, Reggie, although then you look at California and
true.
Sort of makes sense. I mean, the earth has been parched, and then when the weather does come on, it comes on in full force to the point that you can't retain all that flood.
And you can have part of the world be in a drought with another part of the world flooding. That is possible.
Sure. And for the record, I am not a Nostradamus, what do you want to call it?
Believer?
Okay. Believer? Yes, I'm not a believer, okay? And I think so oftentimes we can pigeonhole stuff that this guy said, vague stuff that this guy said, and turn it into whatever we want it to mean. But you know what? In this case, I can see this one.
There is one more prediction they have out there. This one says we may be getting a replacement for Pope Francis. Nostradamus wrote, "Through the death of the very old pontiff, a Roman of good age will be elected. Of him, it will be said that he weakens his see, but long will he sit in biting activity." So there we have it, our 2024 predictions, according to Nostradamus. So you don't believe that he can predict the future. Do you have any predictions for the future, Marcus?
Not really. I mean, I could make some obvious statements based on evidence that we've seen here over the last year or so, but no, I don't have anything like this. And like I started to say, and I jumped the gun, but I've never been a Nostradamus guy, because anytime someone throws out a vague prediction, of course, our minds are going to say, well, what could this mean? Well, it could mean that, hey, China is going to be in a naval battle. Okay, well, it could mean a million other things, too, if you just talk about the color red. So,
is it red? Could be Russia as well. I mean,
yes, yes, exactly, exactly. So I've seen this over the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years. I'm sure it's been going on for much longer than that, but people constantly bring up, well, Nostradamus said this, and clearly it's evidence to support the fact that such and such is about to happen, or that he got something right because some event took place and they're somehow tying it to some sort of prediction that he made. So I'm going to refrain from the predictions because I sound like such a hater of Nostradamus predictions right now.
I'm going to go out on a limb with one here, that when it comes to the presidential election, half the country will be upset.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that's a... Man, you are a real soothsayer, Reg.
That's me. That's me.
You need to publish a book or something with these insanely insightful prophecies you have.
Mine would be more like a comic strip. Not very insightful.
Reggie and Hobbs.
Yes, that's right.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
I think most of us are familiar with the term beer goggles, or phrase, whatever you want to label it, typically used to describe a heightened sense of attraction to others when one is under the influence of alcohol. Well, one theory behind what leads to beer goggles apparently has to do with facial symmetry. I was not aware of this, Reg, but after reading the story from Sky News, I now know far more than I ever intended about beer goggles and the theories behind it. So, here's the key takeaway. Scientists at the University of Portsmouth in England have apparently debunked, or at least called into question, a theory that says beer goggles are due to a drinker finding someone more attractive because of their face appearing more symmetrical while under the influence. So, how'd they set this up? Well, researchers questioned 99 men and women in a pub between the ages of 18 and 62 to test how people rate looks after a few drinks. No word on why they didn't just round it out to 100 people. Worth noting that they used photographs to test these folks. So showing photos after a few drinks to see, like, hey, are they attractive? Not attractive. As opposed to live models or individuals who are actually inside the bar at the same time. A per a study spokesperson, quote, existing research has shown that a part of what makes people attracted to others is how well both sides of their face match. The thinking goes, the more symmetry, the better the gene pool. But when alcohol is introduced, it's thought a person is less likely to notice if the faces around them are non-symmetrical, end quote. But the study, published in the Journal of Psychopharmacology, found that while alcohol did impair facial symmetry detection, it did not influence judgments of attractiveness. Dr. Alastair Harvey from the university's Department of Psychology explained the study this way, quote, alcohol is a strong predictor of sexual behavior, often consumed before or during dates. Due to the limited research on this topic, we ran a field experiment to determine why people often experience unexpected and regretted sexual escapades after having one too many, end quote. He went on to say an explanation for the findings could be that attractiveness depends on many factors, rather than just the small effects of facial symmetry. Quote, we don't deny the existence of a beer goggles effect, but we suspect it would be more easily detectable when using live models for an experiment instead of static photographs. Images conceal a range of important visual criteria for attractiveness, including build, body shape, height, expression, and clothing. Therefore, further research is needed to find the missing piece to the puzzle, end quote. Is it though, Reggie? Is more research needed to explain the beer goggles effect?
I know there's a few people out there that would like to do a little more research on this.
Live in the field research. That's right. Get out there and tell us how you feel.
I think it all comes down to your inhibitions. The alcohol is lowering some of that for you. So while you may be hesitant to go home with this person when you're sober, once you get that alcohol in you, you may be thinking, you know what? It's not that bad of an idea. You know, your thought process changes a little bit with the alcohol in you. It's not so much, I don't think, of how you see the person. It's about how you interact with everyone around you.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment. I like where you're going with that, because this doesn't just apply to sexual attraction when you're talking beer gog. I mean, yeah. There are a number of things that I have discussed with people over some drinks that I thought were just spectacular ideas in the moment and saying, man, when we put this plan into action, we're going to be rich, or God knows what else we've talked about. And then the next day you're like, no, there's that's not good at all.
I'm sure there's more fights that happen when you're drunk. There's more, you know, just a lot of activity happens because you're not restraining yourself as much as when you're sober. So yeah, that, to me, I don't think there needs to be much more research done. I think that's the answer.
But I think Dr. Harvey just likes doing this research and thinks, you know what? Let's see if we can build on this study and see what's next. And when, you know what? Maybe that's why they use photographs in the first place. He's like, I'll tell you what, we'll use photographs for this first study. And when the results don't turn out the way we expect, that's when we can pitch the university on, hey, you got to fund us for a whole nother round of this using live models. We got to keep this thing going. So
we need a $100,000 grant. We got a couple bars to go to.
That's right. Yes. And the models, I guess you'd have to be, and I don't mean this, no pun intended, but you'd have to be a little bit thick skinned so that you don't get like if you're criticized or some drunk tells you you're not attractive, how does that feel? I mean, that's not good.
You imagine coming in like, we need an unattractive model. Sir, are you interested?
I don't know if you just put people behind glass, like, hey, can you participate in this study? We don't want you to hear anything that any of these drunk people are saying, but I don't know. I'm not sure it's a worthwhile cause to be funding this type of research when there are a lot more pressing things out there, but hey, you know what? Science.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Taking a look at this day in history, on January 2nd, 1974, the national speed limit of 55 miles per hour was instituted by Richard Nixon with the Emergency Highway Energy Conservation Act. Probably the worst crime Nixon committed, right? Just kidding. Just kidding. The law prohibited any speeds above 55 miles per hour. It wasn't until 1987 before some roads were allowed to be as high as 65 miles per hour. The Emergency Highway Energy Conservation Act was enacted due to the price of oil spiking and supply disruptions during the 1973 oil crisis. The hope was that decreasing the speed would reduce fuel consumption by 2.2%. The actual savings ended up being around 0.5% to 1%, so there were some savings, but not as much as predicted or hoped.
Well, how much of that, though, Reggie, is because people just simply weren't obeying the speed limit? I mean, do people ever truly go right at the speed limit?
I'm hoping when they did their predictions, they would have taken some of that into account. But yeah, maybe they were just taking, you know, straight. If everyone drove 55 exactly, we would have saved 2.2%.
I want to know if there was an uproar about this from people who felt like, hey, it's our right to go faster on certain roads.
There were some states that did not want to follow the law, particularly because before this, states set their own speed limit before this federal mandate came into place. Before the national maximum speed limit had taken effect, a lot of states were as high as 75 or 80 miles per hour. And before the law, Montana and Nevada generally had no posted speed limits, allowing drivers to travel at whatever speed was safe for conditions. Mm-hmm. Now, this national maximum speed limit was finally repealed in 1995. Marcus, you know, you live in Nevada. Would you trust people to drive at whatever speed they feel is safe for conditions?
No, not at all. But people do it anyway right now. At least a handful of people do drive at whatever speed limit they feel they need to go. Now, what I have to imagine, though, Reggie, when thinking back historically to Nevada and Montana, Nevada as a state is by and large a lot of desert wasteland, government-owned land. There's not much happening outside of Reno, Las Vegas, Carson City, for the most part anyway. There are some others, but you get the point. And Montana is very much the same way. If you've ever driven through Wyoming, you know, that's much the same. You're out in nature, essentially, and there's a road there, and it just, even when you're cruising at 85, 90 miles per hour, which I have to say I have done, you don't feel like you're going all that fast because of just how open the freeway is. So I'm assuming that's what this was applied to, as opposed to, say, like the city driving of Las Vegas today.
I agree. I mean, a lot of these states, you just kind of want to get through as quick as possible because it's so wide open and flat. You just want to get through it. So, yeah, I get that. It didn't apply to city streets. I think there were still speed limits in those. It was those wide open roads that they had no posted speed limit.
I can't imagine, though, Reg, like being told, and this is, I don't mean this in any sort of derogatory way, because Montana is an absolutely gorgeous, breathtaking state. But if I had to sit on the freeway in rural Montana and I was told I could only go 55 miles per hour, I mean, I can understand why people would have been upset at that time. That's asinine.
Hence, I can't drive 55.
Sammy Hagar had it right.
Before we wrap it up today, we did have a request for a proper introduction when Marcus and I started the show. I believe we described ourselves a little bit, but we didn't go into detail. Through the email, we had that request asking we get a little more background on us as we are now the new host of Cool Stuff Ride Home. Starting with me, I'm Reggie. Nice to meet you.
This is the first day of school?
This is the first day of school. I live in Wisconsin. I am married with two kids. I actually did concrete work for years with my family. They have a business before I got into radio. I went to college for radio. I've worked in radio for nearly 20 years. And Marcus and I spent a little bit of that time together before we started working in podcasting. So I don't know if you want to just jump right in and then maybe we can talk about our radio experience together.
Yeah, certainly, Reg. I, too, am a Wisconsin native and, you know, went to college there at the University of Wisconsin, lived in Milwaukee for a time before I made my way to much warmer temperatures in Las Vegas, Nevada. Initially moved out here back in 2008. I did leave Vegas for a period of time to move back to Wisconsin, which is where you and I first connected, working in radio for a number of years, about 4 years together. And then eventually made my way back to the desert because as much as I love my home state, I just can't tolerate those winters, Reggie. And I know they're not quite as cold as maybe they once were, but still, I'll take my 62 in January.
I always said growing up that I was going to move out of Wisconsin and go to Arizona. But then I got married and now I'm stuck here.
Someday, Reg, when your kids are grown. So
as for our radio experience together, you were on a sports talk station in the same building that I was co-hosting an afternoon show for, and you would come over and slide over and do the sports during our show during the early evenings. And that's how we kind of, you know, connected for quite a few years there.
Yeah. I did a 3-hour afternoon sports talk show and covered the Green Bay Packers a lot because when you're in Wisconsin, that's a big part of what you talk about on those airwaves. So did that. And then, as you mentioned, you were on the news talk station. I'd come over, give a sports update from time to time. Yeah, just had a lot of great experiences in the world of radio. We parlayed those experiences into a career in podcasting. And I don't just mean the show that we're currently doing here, Cool Stuff Ride Home, but we both work for a reputable advertising entity in the podcast space as well. So very much in tune with everything that's going on in the podcast world, from the largest shows on down to the smallest. I will note that prior to you and I working together in radio, I had spent a number of years working in sports in various capacities. I worked in college athletics for 5 years at UNLV, which is the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. For anyone not in the know there, prior to that, I produced a morning sports talk show in Milwaukee. So, yeah, a lot of sports in my background. And, you know, that there have been fewer and fewer sports aside from just being a fan in recent years.
Well, don't forget, if you head out to a UNLV game, you might hear Marcus's voice announcing the game.
That is true. I am still the public address announcer for the UNLV football and men's basketball team. So if you're in town and you head to Allegiant Stadium, which is also the home of the Raiders, you might hear my voice if you're there to watch the Rebels play. What a thrill.
That'll do it for another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home. You can reach us at coolstuffcommute@gmail.com. I'm Reggie Rizzou, as you just learned, and he's Marcus Paff, and now you know all about us. We'll be back again tomorrow with another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home.